c'est tout. Ouais.
C'est
tout.
Last week we learned the Gemara on Tes Amid Beis till Yud Amid Aleph, about 7 lines from the top. The Gemara mentioned Derech Agav about drinking Mayim Megulim, or eating fruits that may have been poisoned by a snake. Bizman Hazeh, we're not concerned. We don't have any snakes in the cities, so we're not concerned about this. This is a din min haTorah. A person is not permitted to do something that may be detrimental to his health. This is not a takana derabanan. This is a real din deraisa. Whenever there's a real suffix takana, you have to be careful. The Chachamim never made a gzera derabanan on this. Tosis asks, why shouldn't you say davish v'minyan tzoch minyachal atiroi? Whatever the Chachamim make a takana or a gzera because of a certain reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, the gzera derabanan still applies. So Tosis says, how come we all drink Mayim Megulim today? So Tosis answers, they never made a gzera derabanan. It's a din min haTorah. There is a din, you're not allowed to do anything that may be detrimental to your health. And even if it's way less than a 50-50 suffix sakana, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to follow the rive when it comes to a suffix sakana. Unless it's such a far-fetched suffix sakana that people are just not nervous about. But whenever it's a reasonable suffix sakana that people are nervous, then it's a din min haTorah. You're not allowed to do something that may be detrimental here. So they never made a gzeir over here. This is a real din deraisa. The Pashup Shad, the Gemara quotes that Pasuk. The Gemara says, the Gemara tells a story in Brachas that one of the Rabbanim was davening and a Goyish policeman came over and he didn't greet him. And then when he finished davening Shmon Esrei, so the Goyish policeman said, you're not concerned about the Pasuk in your Bible when Ishmatim Yodan Nafshezechim, I could have killed you. So he says, I was davening to the Rebbe Shlom Shem. So strictly speaking, the din is, if there's a real suffix sakana, you are mafsik in the middle of the Shmon Esrei. If there's no suffix sakana, then you're not allowed to. You're permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, V'dibartabam, Pashup Shad V'dibartabam means you should recite Kriya Shema. V'dibartabam, Shiftecha V'veisecha, you should talk and learn it. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. With the Barta Bam, you're permitted to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema b'pnei HaKavod b'pnei HaYira. If someone comes in the middle of the shul, then you're not going to greet him. He's going to feel insulted. And he doesn't realize I'm in the middle of Kriya Shema. So with the Barta Bam means you're allowed to be mafsik. So the Gemara has a drasha on top of the drasha. With the Barta Bam v'loy b'tfila, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the Shmona Esrei because of Kavod Arbiyas. But if there's a real suffix sakana, then you are mafsik in the middle of the Shmona Esrei. This chassid who was davening in the Gemara, he knew that the goy wasn't going to kill him. So the goy said, you did wrong because I could have killed you, and it says in your Bible, so the Mefarshim point out that the Pashup Shat and that Pasuk really doesn't go on taking good care of your health. It really goes, you should be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. Nishmat miyodah nafshasechem kiloy reisim kol tmuna v'yom dibar Hashem imachem b'har choyrev. It goes, you shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. You shouldn't fall into Avodah Zarah. So it's a question whether the pasuk that the goy quoted is the real pasuk that tells us one should be careful about his health, or it's based on another pasuk. Whatever it is, it's a din min haTorah. Right. So that's what they mentioned. So the Gemara says the goy said that. So the Marsha says on that Gemara that the goy said false pshat, that the real pshat in the pasuk means you should be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. But there is a din min haTorah. You should be careful not to do anything that'll harm your health. Either that pasuk or another pasuk. There is a pasuk, yeah. That's what the pasukim they quote in Nari Behuda in the beginning of Yeridaya. The Pischei Tshuva in the bottom of the page quotes in Nari Behuda: is it permissible to go hunting? So he says, if a person is a hunter for parnasa, so that's the pasuk says in Chumash, a lov hino seyas nafsho. A lot of times people put their lives in danger in order to make a parnasa. These people who used to climb in the mountains there, the Himalayas, where they used to climb. Or Mount Everest. So they put their lives in danger. Sometimes they taka lost their lives. Okay. What people don't do for parnasa. But go hunting for fun, so the Nadi Behuda says that you're not allowed to do. to put your life into sakana, just to have a good time. Tarmanesh, he says, to go hunting for parnasa is mutter, but stam for fun, you're not allowed to, because you can get hurt. See here, the Gemara lists off Tanan Hosam, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, it's the Mishnah and Trumas, the Gimel Mashkim Asur Mishim Giloy. There are three different beverages where you have to be concerned that maybe the snake spits some poison into it. One is mine, one is yayin, one is cholov. Before, the Gemara was talking about fruits. We had on the bottom, on the last line on Tesam and Aleph, the Gemara quoted on Tosefta and Trumas, you're going to eat te'enim or you're going to eat avatichim, and you see that it has peck marks in it that some animal was biting into it. So then the Gemara said you have to be concerned maybe a snake bit into it. And on beverages, the Mishnah says in Trumas there are only three beverages that you have to be worried about. The other beverages the snakes don't like to taste. Sure. Anyway, by us the whole thing is irrelevant. Maim yayin cholov. And what's called maim megulim? What's called maim megulim? It says in Shulchan Aruch that bizman hazeh, we don't have any nochash and mitzuyim, we don't have any snakes, and we don't have to worry about it. But still, since bizman hagemara yayin megula that wasn't covered would be a concern that maybe the snakes bit some poison into it. And even if now you'll have a good filter to remove all the poison, so the Gemara says you shouldn't use such wine for Kiddush. Because HaKaver Nolafecha Secha, would you give such a drink of wine to an Adam Chashuv? If you want to give it to the mayor, to the governor, to the president of the United States, would you take wine that may have poison in it, and then you've got to filter it through and then give him a drink? It's not Bekovedik. It had poison and you took it out.
The president might get it.
Okay. So the... That's a different chashash. Yeah, that's a ruach roh. The Gemara talks about ruach roh day. But here it's a chashash of a poison. So since in the days of the Gemara, yayin megula was a concern, maybe there's poison in it. And even if you filter out the poison, you should. It's not proper, not derech eretz to use it for kiddush, even bizman hazeh, that there's no concern. We don't have any nechosh mitzuyim. So it says you should be careful not to use you shouldn't use yayin megula for kiddush. A lot of times in the yeshiva, they set up the table in the cafeteria. So the waiters set up the table and they have cups of wine on a plate, and the wine is all megula there. And then the students come after Meir, if they come and they make kiddush. So they're really using yayin megula. But by us, there's no concern, there's no sakana. We don't have any choshim mitzuyim. But still, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not right to use it. Since years ago, it used to be an issue, and even if you'd filter it out, and there won't be any poison, it would be hakiveh no lefecha secha. You shouldn't use it for kiddush, so we shouldn't use yai megula for kiddush today either.
Over shkia, for 1 minute.
No. So the Gemara says, how long does it have to be megula that there should be a concern? That's what this Mishnah in Trumas is going to say. The kama yashiv yu asurim. How long does it have to be megula? Let's say you have a cup of tea sitting here for half a minute. So here we're all sitting, so nobody saw any snakes. So that's not a concern of my megula. What if a little davin shman esra, everybody would close their eyes, and then after we finish shman esra, nobody was watching for the 3 minutes that we davin shman esra. So 3 minutes enough to have a concern that maybe a snake came from somewhere and spit in some poison and ran back and hid? So the Mishnah says, v'kama yashu. How long should it be megula, the yayin and the mayim and the cholov? How long should it be uncovered and exposed? The yuasurim. So the Mishnah says, kedei, enough time, sheyetze harachash mimokim korav, that a snake should be able to come from the closest location. This is over here. There may be a snake hiding. Oh, we don't have any snakes, so by us, the whole thing is not shy. But if we would live on a farm, so there's a far-fetched possibility, maybe there's a snake hiding over there. The snake, how long would it take for the snake to jump from over there onto the table, to take a sip of tea and spit out some poison, then to run back and hide? So if we were davening Shemoneh Esrei with our eyes closed for 3 minutes, no one was watching, so then in 3 minutes the snake had already put in poison. That's what the Mishnah says. The kama yashiv yasurim, how long should it be megula, nobody was watching? The amount of time kedei sheyetze arachash, a snake should come imakim korayv, from the closest location, the yishta, and drink some of the milk and spit in the poison.
So people are sitting around, so it can be a long time.
Yeah, if people are sitting around, they didn't see any snakes, so it's not called maimigul. Yeah.
Wine has not been defiled.
it's strong, we don't put 3-to-1 ratio, right? Wine before being decant,
before it's diluted.
Is that considered wine as far as that's concerned?
If the Gemara talks about yayin toses ain't bo mishim gila, because the snakes don't like what's yayin toses. I think before 40 days, they only like the wine after
fresh
40
wine.
Days. Fresh wine, I think they don't like. But if it's after 40 days old, I think then they do like the wine.
I thought everything in the station would taste like dust.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe they can smell a difference. I don't know, maybe they don't have the sense of taste, but they have the sense of smell. Because the Gemara says they're only concerned about the milk and the wine and the water. And other beverages, we're not concerned. So the Mishnah says, how long should it be Megula? The amount of time that a snake can come from a Makom Karv. Beg Gemara, and how close is that? Kam a Makom Karv, Ham Rabbi Yitzchak, Brei de Rabbi Yudah, Kadei Sheyetze, Mitachas Oizen Kli. Sometimes you have a handle on the kli, so sometimes you can have a snake over here as a makam rachik. If the snake is going to come from under the bookcase over here, that'll take a minute and a half. But sometimes you have a fancy handle on the side of the pitcher, on the side of the canteen. The snake may be hiding under the handle, and it can spit in the poison, and then it can run back. That's the whole story. The snake is going to come from under the handle and take a sip. But then we're going to finish davening Shemana Esrei, and we're going to see the snake there. So we'll know that it's a sakana. And for the Gemara, Feg the Gemara, Yishteh, if that's the amount of time, we're going to see the snake. So we're going to know that it's a sakana. Elanein means Yishteh biachse lechuroi. It means if we all closed our eyes to davening Shemana Esrei long enough that a snake can come from under the handle or from anywhere, hiding wherever it could possibly be hiding. Take a sip of the coffee or the tea or the wine, whatever it is, and spit in poison, and then run back to its hiding place, and then we'll open up our eyes. So if the wine or the water was megula for such an amount of time, then it's yai megula. Okay. That din of Shulchan Aruch is a difficult din that you shouldn't use bizman hazeh. You shouldn't use yayin megula for kiddush because hakaver nolafecha secha. This man Agimara that you lived in a village where there were snakes and there was a hashash of poison. So even if you filter it out and now there's no hashash of poison, but that's not bekovedik to use that wine for kiddush. Hakaveh no lefecha secha. Would you give such wine to a pecha, to the mayor, to the governor, to an adam chashuv? You wouldn't give him such wine. So how can you use it for kiddush? But this man said the chashuv are not mitzuyim at all. Where we lived, there are no snakes. There are snakes to sometimes bite people, but we don't have any snake who is spitting any poison into any drinks. So if there's no chashash at all, so why is it hakaveh no lefer chasecho? I don't know, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They quote the Rishonim. Even though by us there's no chashash for yai megula, but you shouldn't use it for kiddush.
So the Ashkenazim that say hamotzi right after kiddush and the wash before kiddush, they can't pour their kos before they wash because everyone's going to wash, and as soon as everybody comes back into the room, it's yai megula. They're supposed to pour it after.
Unless they have people sitting around and watching, okay. You have to have people watching. But the question is, what is there to watch about? We know there are no snakes,
right.
So the whole din is a pella.
That's a yucky minute.
Right, that was a davish of a minion. That was a gzera. You're not allowed to clap or dance. Right, so that's a davish of a minion. That's a gzera derabbanan that should apply bizman hazeh, even though the reason no longer applies. So Taisa somehow explains why, since the reason doesn't apply, the whole gzera doesn't apply. So we don't really understand what Taisa said. But over here, by the Mayim Megulim, we do understand. They never made a gzera. This is just a real din deraisa. That's the big machlokes by Cholav Akum. Was there a gzera derabbanan on Cholav Akum? Oh no! Bizman haGemara, bizman haTanoim, there was a real chashash that the Nochem used to mix in treifa milk. So if there's a chashash, so sofik deraisa l'chumer, milk from a non-kosher animal is also to drink. But if you live in a country where there's no chashash, so there never was a gzera. That's so rov haposkim hold the Cholav Akum never was a gzera derabbanan. They just, the Rabbanim, the Tanoim, just brought to our attention that there's a Sofik deraisa, and if you live in a country where there's no Sofik deraisa, it's mutter. But for so many generations, the practice was in Europe that they treated it as if it was a gzera. The Radvaz has several hundred tshuvas, so he has a steer in the tshuvas. So one of the tshuvas he writes that it was a davar shebeminyan. They made a gzera derabban. The other tshuva he writes like everybody else writes, like most of the shenim. They never made a gzera derabbanan against the chol habakum. They just said, keep your eyes open. If you have a suffix, there is. They said, don't drink the milk. Like over here, they never made a gzera. There's no need for a gzera.
Taking medicine on Shabbos, nobody grinds their own herbs and spices and whatever today.
Right. So most assumed that even though the reason doesn't apply, the gzera still applies. So years ago, one of the rabbanim who was connected with Yeshiva University published a whole essay on Yeshiva and Yeshiva publication that in his shul he already did away with this gzera derabbanan because the reason for the gzera doesn't apply. So the gzera doesn't apply, just like Tosfos said over there by the clapping and the dancing and so on. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset. So he said, "Al rishonim anu mitzarim. We don't understand pshat in the Tosfos. We don't follow that Tosfos. It's not right to clap. To clap to applaud when someone speaks, so you're not afraid you're going to get carried away to fix a musical instrument. But to clap to keep an igin, the Yisum Shulchan Aruch is not right. And to dance is also not right. The Hasidim started. The Hasidim in recent years made the hetter. So the Hasidish Achrayim write that by a Rebbe, when you dance with his slav is the Kedusha, so there's no chashash that is going to lead to Chilul Shabbos. So Chacham Avadya makes fun of this tshuva from the Chassidish Rebbe. So he says, only the Chassidim know how to dance with the slav is the Kedusha. The holy Tanoim didn't dance with the slav is the Kedusha. So the Tanoim, they were not allowed to dance. But we know how to do better than the Tanoim. Right, so the Gaonim who introduced Simchas Torah write, number one, it's only Yontem Sheni Shel Golias, because it started in Bavel. It started in Bavel. And the second Yontem, at Simchas Torah, not on Shmini Atzeres. And number two, since we're dancing, we're covered our Torah, so we're not going to violate Yontem. So the question is, but now they dance on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael. And according to the original Tshuvas HaGaonim, they only gave the heter to dance on Yontem Sheni. That's how they write Beferish, not on Yom Tov Rishon. And the heter, because since we're dancing, we're not going to violate any Yisurim, is a Shvacha heter. Rab Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva. He says, Simchas Torah is the one day in the year we want to show so much Kavod HaTorah, so everybody violates all the dinim. So he says, one din we always violate, when they're walking around with the Sefer Torah, no one's allowed to sit down in the room. A lot of people sit down. How long can you stand? They have hakafas forever. A lot of people sit. Then he says, number two, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. It's Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. So he says, a lot of the people forget on Ma'ariv. They got Ma'ariv, then they go hakafas for an hour or two or three. The people forget. And the same thing in the morning also. They forget that they start nibbling on candies before they say Kiddush. Then he says, number three, because they dance hakafas for so long at Simchas Torah in the morning, so a lot of times it comes out, they don't begin to daven musaf till after Shor Shvius. So the Mishnah says, you're nikra posheya, you're not allowed to do that. You have to at least start on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Chazan doesn't finish musaf till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But at least he starts, at least the Tefillah Balachash is before the end of Shor Shvius. The Chazan begins the Chazar Sashatz before the end of Shor Shvius. But on Simchas Torah, a lot of times, because the Hakafis are so long in the morning, so they don't begin to daven Musaf till after Shor Shvius is over. So the one Tana holds that you're not allowed to daven Musaf so late. Musaf has to be before the end of Shor Shvius. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin Tefillah Samusofim is Kol Hayom, but you're nikra posheya if you wait to daven Musaf till after Shor Shvius. So that's Rabbi Shlomo Kluger complains. That Simchas Torah is the one day in the year we want to show so much Kavod HaTorah, and we go and we violate the dinim that all year long we never violate. So that's the problem. So what's the whole heter to dance? Because since we're dancing with the Kavod HaTorah, we're not going to make any mistakes. We know for centuries that we're making mistakes already. And the post can write about it, and the Rabban talk about it, and it still doesn't help. It's a problem.
Some of the people actually, they have lunch and they come back and they do the hakafas. They have musaf or anything, the kids have lunch, they come back and they have them do the hakafas. Like at night.
Vasa Shinasalim
and Ayin was a gzera de Rabbanon, maybe an animal came in and switched it.
Yeah.
So, but by us, we don't have any animals climbing in our kitchen. Let's say in the yeshiva. In the yeshiva, right outside the base, managed to have a whole hefka table. So when someone has a bris, a pinyan, a ben, a shevrach, they have leftover fleshings, milchings, parva, whatever, so they leave the leftovers there, and the bachim have a good time, so they eat it. So someone raised an issue, it's basash and samanai. Because a lot of times it's there on the table and there's nobody there. There are no animals roaming around in yeshiva. The bus in Salmanai is a chashash. Maybe the animal ate up what was there, and maybe the animal brought some trefa flesh there. We don't have any animals. So that's a different. That's not Basash on Salmanayin. That's the in the days of the Gemara, they assumed that a lot of Nochrim are Hashudim ala Gezel. And the Nochrim know, especially now, the Nochrim know that kosher meat is healthier than non-kosher meat. After some people died from the mad cow disease a couple of years ago, so they had the papers at that time, a lot of Nochrim are starting to buy kosher meat, because they realized if it would have been kosher, they wouldn't have slaughtered this animal with the mad cow's disease. It couldn't happen. So a lot of Nochrim know that kosher meat is healthier than non-kosher, so maybe the Nochri took the kosher meat and he replaced it with non-kosher. Yeah, but on the hefka table there's no chashash. They have geisha guards in the yeshiva. They eat the meat because it's hay. They don't have to replace it. They give them permission to eat the meat. It's hefka. Hefka whoever wants. The bachim take or the guards take. Kol ha'kodim zocha. And they know if they're going to take, they don't have to replace it. So there's no. The real din in the Gemara, it's a din later. It's in chulin boshes, shalom and ayin. It's a machlekes, whether we paskin like that, bichlal. Whether we paskin. And even if you do hold from it, that's because of a chashash, maybe an animal came. And the chashash gezel, when it applies, you have to be concerned. If there's what to be concerned, the nochri took the kosher flesh and replaced it with trefa flesh.
Is it also a dover shev minyan also? No?
I don't know if it was a dover shev minyan. Is it just a chashash? Yeah. They just pointed out, the sofik deraisa, sofik deraisa l'chumra. You have to be concerned.
If someone has a guy at home, You have a problem.
All the flesh in the refrigerator. They may, if the nochem are chashudim ala gezel, we know that some of the nochem is manazel still chashudim ala gezel. Unfortunately, every day they're indicting more people for bigger and better amounts of money. It's unbelievable. I don't know. These people think they're going to live 1,000 years. What are they going to do with so much money? They just indicted. Unbelievable. Support the whole kaddish. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Okay. So that's the din of Yai Megula. Okay. Now the Gemara starts a new topic. Itmar. There is a machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda in the following case. Hashoychet b'sakin. The shoychet checks the chalaf, the sakin, before he starts to shech to make sure there are no pigimas. If there's a pigima on the sakin, he checks with his fingernail. So if the fingernail gets caught, that means that there's a nick in the knife, and it's gonna rip the neck. It's gonna rip the corner of the ration. You have to have the whole thing should be very smooth. When the Hasidus first started, so one of the complaints against the Hasidim were that they were so medaktik, to sharpen the knives. It was too sharp. So it was so sharp, you had the mistaken impression as if there was a pigima because it was too sharp. So the colleague went too shame. So that was one of the tainas against the Hasidim. So they overcame that taina. Now everybody uses very sharp knives. Now everybody uses. But at that time, the Mistagnim used fatter knives, and the Hasidim used very thin knives, but they were extremely sharp. So here's a shaila. Let's say the Shoychet checked the knife beforehand. He has to check. Then no pegimus. Then he shechts a Shoychet b'sakin, and afterwards v'nimtzis peguma. And he doesn't know when did it become peguma. Did it become peguma from the skin before it made the hide made a pegima on the knife? So when he's by the time he's shechting the kana and the vesha is the knife already has a pegima and it's an avela. Or do we have the right to assume that maybe when he kept on cutting the windpipe and then the food, the kana and the vesha, and then he bumped into the spine and the back, so maybe it got nicked on the spine, in which case the shechita was finished already? So if it becomes peguma after he finished the shechita, that doesn't pose a problem. So you don't know when it became peguma, before the shechita or after. So it's a machlekes, Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, what's the din? So Amar Rav Huna, and each one is extreme. Each one is extreme. Amar Avuna, afilu shiba bo atzamas kol hayom. Let's say he checks the knife and it's perfect, no pigimis. He shechts, then he takes the knife and he starts chopping bones. Shiba bo atzamas. He's banging bones, he's cutting up bones. He cut up bones, the likelihood is that that's going to cause a nick in the knife. So Rav Huna goes to this extreme. Even if he's smashing bones with this sharp knife kol hayom all day long after he finished his shchita, it's still a safek deraisa l'chumra psula. The shchita is psula, losh in the keva. In shchitasa nevela, because we have to still be concerned, maybe the pegima was caused by the hide. Chashinon, you have to be concerned, safek deraisa l'chumra, shema ba'or nifgima. Maybe it became a sakam peguma before he even started the shchita. Rav Chizda is the other extreme. Even if he didn't shecht, even if he didn't break any bones at all later on, he just shechted, and it's a toss-up whether the knife began, and before he started to shecht, had no pegimas. You don't know whether the pegima developed with the or the hide before he gets to the simonim, the kodah neveshet, or the pegima occurred because the knife banged into the spine and the back. So Rav Chizda is make a leave in that case. Rav Chizda amar ksheira, the shechita ksheira, Shema be'etzem nifkema, maybe the pegima was caused because of the etzem, because of the spine in the back. Not shiba batzah, even loshe, the Gemara is going to say, even loshe be'batzamas, Rav Chizda is mekel. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna, we understand, Rav Chizda, we don't understand. Bishleim Rav Huna, we understand. Kishmaite, as he already said, on the previous daf, we spent a lot of time, last week and 2 weeks ago, Rav Huna is the one who made the statement, Behema b'chayeha, the behema while it's alive is becheska sisar, and whenever you have a sofik in shchita, you shtel off the cheska sisar, so it's aser.
We're not concerned about the behema; we're concerned about the knife here.
Right.
And the knife was checked before, so the knife has a chazaka of being a good knife.
That's a very strong point. What you have here is a chazaka keneged chazaka. The knife has a cheska as beduka. It's perfect. The behema has a cheska as iser. But the status of the behema depends on the status of the knife. The chazaka of the behema doesn't stand on its own. The chazaka of the behema depends on whether the knife was peguma or not. So it shouldn't really be considered a chazaka keneged chazaka. The shorish asofik is really on the knife. That's really your argument. The root of the sofik is, was the knife peguma before I started the shecht, or did it retain its status vena peguma till after I finished the shechita? So it shouldn't be considered like a chazaka kenega chazaka. The chazaka, the cheskas beduka on the sakin should be that the cheskas isa on the behem.
According to Rav Huna, he's supposed to check it after he checks, cuts the hide before he checks the simon.
No.
So then according to Rav Huna,
you check the knife, you shecht it, and after you finish shechting, you should check the knife again to see whether it has a pegima. If it has a pegima, you don't know whether it developed with the hide before the simonim or after. So if you don't know, so safek deraisa l'chumra. So what you're saying is a good tataina. That's a very good taina. But first the Gemara says, Bishleime Rav Huna, we understand. You say we don't understand Rav Huna. But that's how the Gemara presents it. So far, Bishleim Rav Huna, we understand Kishmaitei, as his memory was on the previous daf on Tesamid Aleph, the Behema B'chaya B'cheska Sisar Emeris. Elefek Limar Rav Chizde, my time, why does he say, why is he Mekel? So you gave a perfect answer. You said you don't have the Cheskas Isar on the Behema. Is a function of whether the knife was peguma or not. The knife, I checked it before. The knife was not a peguma when I started to shecht. So why don't you say, shtel a knife, av cheskas beduka? The knife is a good chazaka. The shorish asofik is really in the knife, whether the knife had a peguma before the shechita. The shorish asofik is not on the behema. So you shouldn't say chazaka, kenei chazaka. The chazaka of the knife should pass kenois. So the run in the back says that is the reason for our chizda. You have those who have anybody have a riff in the back?
Yeah.
So the Ran You take a look on page 4. The bottom line in the riff on page base, Ahmed base, the last line in the Ran, going over to the top of page Gimel. So the last line he writes, for time of the Rav Chisda, what's the reason why Rav Chisda is Mekel? If you have, it's page 4 in the pages in the riff. Page 4, the bottom line in the Ran. The Ran is the commentary on the side of the riff. So on the last line, the end of the line, he writes, for time of the Rav Chisda, what did Rav Chisda Mekel? The cave and the high reyese, the sakin who the sial of the loybe behema, the sakin who becheskas baduk, mamshichem cheskasai, the talim lahokil dalach hashchita nivgam. He says the shorish hasafik, that's what the Ran is saying in Rav Chisda. The shorish of the safik is really on the knife. When did the knife become nivgam? And there are two dinim in chazoka. There's one din in chazoka, status quo. If I know what the situation was yesterday, let's say the following case. I left some kosher flesh in the refrigerator. Yesterday was kosher. Then today I come and I see that the milk container was leaking, and the bowl with the flesh has a lot of milk in it. I don't know whether the flesh was soaking 24 hours in the milk, in which case I should declare kovish kemevushal, and it's basa b'chol of istreif. Maybe it was soaking less than 24 hours, in which case I can rinse off the flesh and squeeze out all of the milk and shine it, it'll be kosher. So if you don't know whether it's kovish, you don't know whether the flesh became treif or not. I know yesterday when I put the flesh in originally, it was kosher. I don't know if it became treif. So you tell if the chazaka, you assume it's still kosher. So that's one chazaka status quo. You leave it in this, you assume that the status is the same as it was before. Then there's another din of chazaka. I know what the situation was yesterday, and I see today that it changed, and I don't know when the change occurred. Let's say mikveh shenimdad. They checked the mikveh and it has 40 saw. And then someone went into the mikveh today, and then the rabbi, the mashgiach, comes, he checks the mikveh, only has 39 saw. So you don't know when did it lose, we don't know what to attribute the loss of water to. You don't know whether the mikveh already was missing. It didn't have 40 saw at the time the person was tevil, or maybe at that time it did have 40 saw and it lost the shear after he was tevil. So that's a second din in chazaka, that whenever you know that the situation did change, you extend the status quo as long as possible, and you assume that the change occurred as late as possible. It couldn't have occurred. The mashgiach comes now, he checks. It's 8:15. What? It just happened 8:14. Everybody's standing around. It has to be b'chdeshi asu. They say maybe it lost the water in the last hour. No one was watching. Maybe some reason or another it lost the water in the last hour. But the person went to mikveh 4:00 in the afternoon, so we would say he's okay. So there are two dinim. That's what Tosis points out on the first daf in Nida. There are two dinim in chazaka de Meikora. Chazaka Meikora means status quo. One din is you assume that the situation didn't change, it stayed the same. And the other din of chazaka is, I know that it changed, but I should assume that the change occurred as late as possible. Okay, we're going to have that in the Gemara soon. Yep. Okay. Let's say like this. I remember once our next door neighbor died, and he lived by himself in Philadelphia. He lived by himself, and he died after Pesach, and he had a hamantash in his hand. My mother had given him a shalach manas. He had a hamantash in his hand. And the police didn't know. He lived all by himself. They didn't know how long he was dead. Now they can tell you within a range. They know better now. At that time, they didn't know, was he dead for 2 days, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks? They didn't know how long. So when he didn't have any children, he was never married. So let's say you don't know when a person died. Or someone was killed by the Nazis. You know it's between this date and that date, but you don't know exactly when. So when does one observe the yahrzeit? So the poskim, all the classical poskim say, you assume that he lived as late as possible, and you assume that he died the latest possibility. The latest possibility. Yishtalav cheskas chai. So that's what the Ran says over here. I was baidik the knife before I started the shecht. So the sakin is becheskas beduka. The sakin is good. And now I find that it has a pegima. I don't know when the pegima occurred, whether before the shechita began, on the hide, on the way to do the shechita, or after the shechita occurred. either because the knife banged into the spine in the back, or the knife he was using, this knife to cut or to chop bones later on in the butcher shop. So if you don't know whether the change occurred earlier or later, so you assume that the change occurred later. So the cheskas beduka, that's what he says. The top line on page Gimel Amud Aleph in the Ran on the Rif, he says Rav Chisda Pshat. V'sakin was becheskas beduka mamshichem cheskasai. We extend the chazaka as long as you possibly can. I see that it changed, that it has a pigim in it now. That's the second date of chazaka. You extend the status quo as late as possible, and you assume that the change occurred later. That's how the Ran learns pshat in Rav Chisda. There's a possibility that Tosfos says like that. Tosfos on Daf Yud on the days, the top Tosfos, let's see, the Dibra Mascha, the Dilma. So the Gemara is talking about shtelling of Chazoke. So Tosfos says, how does the Gemara know that you shtel of Chazoke even if you see, if I have I left the cup full of tea and I walk out of the room and somebody asks me, do you think the cup of tea is still full? Yeah, shtel of Chazoke. I have no reason to doubt it. Let's say I left the yeshiva today at 6:35. Now there's a question. Maybe somebody bombed the yeshiva. Maybe it's no longer exists. Echateset. That's a chazaka. There's no latest asafik. But what if we were driving in the car and we heard on the news that terrorists bombed a building in Washington Heights? So then there's a latest asafik. You don't know which building. They didn't say which one. So there's a latest asafik. Maybe it's the yeshiva. So you can still shtel off the chazaka. So one is called the chazaka with a reisa. One is called the chazaka without a reisa. That I don't have to declare shilas. Maybe the building was bombed. There's no reisa. Reisa means no latest asafka, meicha teisa. But if I have a latest asafka, so that's what teisa says. How do you know that you shtel of chazaka even when you do have a latest asafik? Where do you see that you apply chazaka? So teisa says in the narrow lines in the teisa, the second narrow line in the teisa is vidilma on the top of Yudam and base. I will heicha dike reisa kigon. Sakin shenimtzus peguma. So Tosfos asks, how do you know that yishtal of chazaka? Who said yishtal of chazaka by sakin shenimtzus peguma? So the simple reading of the Tosfos is that's how they read Rav Chisda, like the Ran. Simple pshat. There are going to be three different explanations why Rav Chisda is mekel over here. So the simplest pshat is what the Ran says, because yishtal of cheskas beduka of the knife. That's what you said. That's what the Ran says, and that's the simple reading of the Tosfos on the top of Amud Beis. The Maharam on the bottom of the Marsho, you have the Maharam. So the Maharam says, even though that's the simple reading of this Tosfos, but that'll contradict the Tosfos on Amud Aleph. This is a famous Tosfos. This Tosfos on Amud Aleph is quoted in Yerideya by the Taz. So that's a problem. How can it be that the Tosfos on the top of Amud Beis learn Pshat and Rav Chisda like the Ran, that is Rav Chisda is mekel because Yishtel of Chazaka to assume that the change, the begima developed as late as possible after the shechita was over, but that's not what Tosfos learned pshat and Rav Chisda on Amud Aleph. Okay, so that's an issue. So let's go again. What happened? The sheikh had checked the knife in advance, and he shechts and there's no begima. Then he shechts, and now he finds, and then he was using the knife to cut the bones in the butcher shop, and now he finds a begima. He doesn't know whether the begima was caused by the hide before he began to shecht, in which case he was shechting the cut innovation with the sakan peguma. So that's an avela. That's what we had on Tesamid Aleph. The Gemara said you shecht with the sakan peguma, it's an avela. Well, you don't know. Maybe the peguma developed later when he was cutting the bones, or maybe when he hit, maybe accidentally he hit the spine. The shechtim don't want to hit the spine because it can ruin the whole knife. So they try not to hit the spine. But obviously there is a begima, so you don't know when the begima occurred. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna holds l'shitasai. Rav Huna says, whenever you have a suffix, whether the shechita was good or not, so you always go to chumrah. So since there's a suffix, whether the sakin was peguma at the time of shechita, so you have to be machmer. And Rav Chisda disagrees. Rav Chisda holds, he goes to Kula. So the Gemara says, Bishleim, Rav Huna, we understand. What does the Gemara have? Bishleim, Rav Huna, the line begins with the word Huna. Shleim, Rav Huna, Kishmaite, like he said on the previous Dav, the behemoth is Bechaz Kasisa. El Rav Chisda, my time, how do you explain why it's mutter? So he says, Amaloch, so Rav Chisda argues, Etzem Vadei Pogim. Pashup Shat is like this, the bones. He was cutting bones later on. So the Rove, if you're going to ask, what are the odds that cutting the hide caused the Pegima? And what are the odds that chopping the bones? The odds are that cutting the bones caused the Pegima. That's a Rove, a likelihood, a probability. So the Pashup Shat is that that's what he says. Vadai Pogim doesn't mean Vadai, means the probability is that the likelihood is, he go Basarov, that it became, the sakim became piguma after the shechita was finished, when he was cutting all the bones. That's what he says. Omalach, he will probably explain, etzem vadai pogim. The cutting of the bones later was vadai pogim. Or in the hide beforehand, is safik pogim, safik any pogim, unlikely, avisafik vadai, and safik moitzimide vadai. He go basarov, that's the pashup shot. Rav Chisden mekel because he go basarov. And the Ran said a different shot. Rav Chisda is mekel because he's shtal of chazaka.
What happened if they checked the knife immediately after the shechita? There were no bones that were being cut over here, and they found it.
Right. So the Gemara is going to say, correct. The Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis that the argument between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna is to the extremes. Rav Chisda is machmir, even if he did cut bones, he's machmir, and Rav Huna is mekel even if he didn't cut bones. So what is there to why? Because the spine, it's more likely that the spine will be poigim the knife than the hide before the shechita will be poigim the knife. That's how the Gemara explains on Amud Beis. So the first line in the Gemara, so far the Gemara said, Ein sofkim beitzim vebadai, the simple explanation is that it's a ruba delesa kamon. The likelihood is, the probability is, that it became, the sakim became nivgimo later. And the Ran claims, as we're going to proceed, the Ran claims that's not the maskana. The real pshat in Rav Chisda is that yishtal of chazok, the cheskas, beduka, of the sakim, amshichim ha-chazok, he says, you extend the chazok, to assume it didn't become nifgim until later. And then Taisus comes up with a new interpretation, a newfangled interpretation, the Rav Chisda is mekel because it's a svek-svek. It's a suffix 50-50, maybe the knife became peguma with the hide, maybe began peguma with the spine, and even if it became peguma with the hide, it's a long knife. Who says that he used that part of the knife to cut the simonim? Maybe that nick was on the side. If the nick was mamish in the middle, where you know for sure it was cutting, then you don't have a svek sveka. But Tosis claims that that's the pshat in the Gemara, that the reason why Rav Chisda is mekel, it's very problematic. The Gemara doesn't say a word about Svek Sveka. The Gemara knows how to say an expression, Svek Sveka. It appears in the Gemara in different Masechtos. So Tosis claims that that's the pshat here. That's out there. Where is this in the Tosis? Let's see. Yeah, towards the bottom of the Tosis. The last narrow line in the Tosfos is Sakin Isrei, right above the wide line. So they say, Sakin Isrei, there's a reyes in the knife, Pirish, Vika Sveke Tuva, Shema Be'etzem Divkuma, maybe the Sakin began Piguma with the spine, Vafila Ba'or Nivkuma, and even if the Piguma developed in the hide before he began the Shechita, Shema Lai Nishchatu Hasimonim Keneged HaPiguma, Vahavika Svek Sveke. It's questionable, how does that fit into the Gemara? Gemara never said a word about Svek Sveka. But these are the three different interpretations. That the Pashup Shat is that he's saying it's a Ruba Delesa Kamon. The probability is that it became Nifgamo later, and the Ran says because of Chazoka, status quo, and the Tosfos, the last, Tosfos has three different explanations. So the third explanation is that it's Mitam Svek Sveka.
Yeah. Is it
for
say, I'm not sure.
Not so sure, yeah. I don't know why. So this is the Machleg Zarfun Rav Chisda. So the Gemara has Gemara is going to discuss, are there any rayas one way or the other? Let's see. Masiv Rabba the Seyur the Rafina. So Rabba is going to bring a proof from a brayser that seems to support Lisiyur le Ravuna, to support Ravuna. Such a similar shayla, a person checks himself to see if he has chatzitzis. When a person, a man, a woman, a kelim, whenever you're toivel, a person is toivel, you do tefillas kelim, you have to make sure there are no chatzitzis. So the person checks his body, no chatzitzis. He comes out of the mikveh, tovol the yola, the person went to the mikveh, comes out, and then an hour or two go by, v'nimtza olav davar chatzitzis, then he finds paint on his hand. He's not going to find paint. He would have noticed the paint before. On his chest or something, he finds on his head. He finds paint, and he doesn't know whether the paint was there, before he was tovel in the mikveh, he checked the whole body to make sure there are no chatzitzis. But apparently there was a pause. There was a half an hour in between the time that he checked his body, he was tovel in the mikveh. So he doesn't know whether the paint or whatever, the ink or the whatever it is that the chatzitz is, whether it's a tzugat shepet before he was tovel, in which case there's a chatzitz in the tefillah, or the chatzitz developed afterwards. So the Braisa says, afal pishin it's nasek, but also hamin kol hayom kulo. Let's say after he was tovel in the mikveh, he got dressed, and then he's painting the house. And then you found this kind of paint. He was painting the house yesterday. And after he finished being tovel in the mikveh, he continues to paint the house. The afal pishin is sasek, but also hamin kol hayom kulo. Even though he was painting all day long for hours and hours after he was tovel, so the odds are that the chatzitz of the paint or the chatzitz of ink. So he was writing a long letter after he finished being tovel in mikveh. Then he notices that he has ink on his fingers, and it's a chatzitz. Even though the likelihood might possibly make sense to argue the point and say the chatzitza developed after he was tovel, because he was painting for a couple of hours. That's like using the knife that he used for the shechita to cut the bones afterwards in the butcher shop. So the likelihood, Rav Chisda says, the likelihood is that cutting the bones is what caused it to have the chatzitza. Cutting the bones caused it to have the pegima. So here also, he was painting. So the likelihood, we should have thought, the likelihood is that caused the chatzitza. Nonetheless, also la tefila, it's no good. You don't go basarayv. You don't say the likelihood is that it developed after he was tovel, unless he knows beferish. He says, I looked in the mirror before I went into the mikveh. I didn't have any ink. I didn't have any paint on my face at the time. So, okay, then you know for sure that the chatzitza came afterwards. How does it say? Achiyoma, unless the person who went to the mikveh will say, Barili, I know for sure shalohoya like karim lachem. I know for sure I looked in the mikveh, I looked in the mirror, I know for sure there was no chatzitz. So the Gemara, so Rabbah argues and he says, isn't this exactly the same as the other case? The ha, hacha, in this case, by the mikveh, the vadai toval, it's parallel to the other case. He vadai shechted the animal, and here he vadai was tovel in the mikveh. Safik havei alei, safik lo havei alei. It's a safik whether the chatzitza was present before he was tovel or not, because he's safik and moitzi midei vadai. Even though he checked in advance, like over there, he checked the knife by the shechit, and here he checked his body quickly, superficially, he checked his body. There was no chatzitza. You don't know whether the chatzitza developed before or after. So the Braisa says, you go to chumre, because the person is beches kastame. So the same over there, behemoth is beches kasisa, because he's safik and moitzi midei vadai. You don't go basarayv. Vadai means to go basarayv. They say the likelihood is that the chatzitza developed later because he was painting for hours, or that the pegima developed later because he was cutting bones, breaking bones with it.
Has to be an interval?
Has to be an interval.
He was vadik himself and going to the mikvah?
Yeah, if mamish immediately before, then... Yeah, that's what Tosis points out. There's a gemara in the end of Nida, where the Gemara says it depends how long a pause was there in between the chafifa and the going to the mikveh. If there was mamish, no pause at all. So it's not shaykh that the chatzitza. Right. So the Gemara, so Rava argues the point, isn't this braisa supporting Rav Huna's position? Isn't it against Rav Chisda? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. One can argue the point. Shiny Hossam, maybe over there by the mikveh, you go to Chumre, the Adam Tomei is Becheskas Tuma. Fine, the person is Becheskas, he has no chatzitzes, but on the other hand, the person is Becheskas, that is Tomei, the Eimoloi Tovam. since he's becheskas tumah, so I should say ashtal of cheskas tumah. Frag the Gemara, the same thing by the behema also. Hachanami, how is Rav Chizda makel by the behema? Hachanami here too. I'm a behema cheskasa. Behema loy nishchato. Same thing. Shtal the behema cheskasisa. And for the Gemara, he can't say that because harishchuta lofanecha. I see the geshachten. So you can't tell after chazaka that there was no shchita. Gemara says no. The same thing by the mikvah. Hachanami haritava lofanecha. So why not say the same by the mikvah? The person was vaday toivel.
By the mikvah, so what's the big deal? He'll go to the mikvah again. You can't shech the behema again.
No, the question is, apparently he touched something. He touched some food or some kalim. So the question is it tame? We'll tell him to go to the mikvah again to solve the problem. But I don't know, what about the food or the clothing that he touched in between? Will it be tame or not? That is a clear distinction. What you said, tell the guy to go to the mikvah again. But do you even have to tell him? Why do you have to tell him to go to the mikvah again? Why not just say lahakel? He doesn't have to. So by the mikvah we say we paskin that is tamei, and Rav Chizda claims over here that the shechita is kosher. It's exactly the same thing. The saken is becheskas beduka, the behema is becheskas iser, and the person is becheskas tamei, but also becheskas baduk, that he has no chatzitzes. You have a chazake, can I get a chazake? And they're both the same thing. If you have a chatzitza, then the whole tefillah is no good. If you have a pegima, the whole shechita never took place. So it's exactly parallel. So Rava argued, doesn't the braisa support Rav Huna? That when you have this kind of chazake, can I get a chazake, he treated it as a suffik deraisa lechumer. So the Gemara says, no, how can you say, haritava lefanecha, ha'esyalad beraisa? I have a suffix. Maybe the tefillah in the mikvah was no good because you found the chatzitza. Achanami by the shechita, sialet beireise. By the shechita also. You can't say, I know for a fact that he shechted the animal. If there was a pegima in the sakin at the time that he used it for shechita, so the shechita is not called the shechita. So the Gemara argues the case of mamish parallel. So how can Rav Chizda argue with Rav Huna? What's he going to do with this brice? And for the Gemara, Rav Chizda disagrees because of the following distinction. No, Sakin Yisrei, Behema lo Yisrei. The difference is here, the latest asafik by the Shechita is on the Sakin, that's a Zaitik Gezach. The Rei says, you found the Pegima on the Sakin, but there's no latest asafik on the Behema. Mashaini came by the person who went to the Mikveh, the Rei says on the person himself. So Tosfos says, so what? It's exactly the same. So what? What's the logic? Yeah.
Right,
yeah, that's what they say. What's the logic? So that's why you have to kratzai some kind of pshat here. So that's what they say in the last pshat, the last four lines, they think that it's a very unclear enigma. So Tosfos thinks that the pshat really is, the third pshat in Tosfos, that it really means svek svek. It doesn't say in the Gemara. Then the first pshat that Tosfos said, is no. The Rav Chizda was makel over here because you have a ruba de leisa kamon. The ruba ain't sofik motzim de vada. It sounds like that. It's a vada means it's highly unlikely. We shecht so many animals all the time. How often does it happen? Once out of 1,000 times, it happens that the hide causes a pegima on the knife. How often does it happen that the knife becomes nifkema when you bump into the spine, or you cut the bones with it? That's more common. So that's Rav Chizda really meant. Rav Chizda was makel based on a roiv, and the case by the mikveh, there's no roiv one way or the other. There's no roiv one way or the other. But the roiv here is better than the roiv over there. It's very unclear. Very unclear. My time with Rav Chizda. So that's what we mentioned. The Ran and possibly the Tosfos on the top of Amud Beis came up with a nupshat. Rav Chizda was makel. Rav Chizda was really makel because of the cheskas baduk on the sakin. It doesn't say it in the Gemara at all. It doesn't say it in the Gemara at all. It's very unclear. So it's a machlekes of Apun Rav Chizda. Frag Gemara kasha meisve, another kasha from a Tosefta. What does it say in the Tosefta? We spoke about this a little bit. We didn't talk enough. We had on the Tesam at Aleph, the Gemara rattled off the five hilchos shechita. Shehiya drasa chalada hagrama v'yikur. So the first four we know what they are. Shehiya means You start shechting the behemah, then you take a pause to daven mincha, to smoke a cigarette, and then he comes back and he finishes the shechita. So shehir, he paused too long in the middle of the shechita. So it's not mitzarf. The sof hashechita, but the tchilas hashechita, not mitzarf together. Drasa means instead of fiddling back and forth, he took the knife and he pushed down. You always have to push down, but you have to fiddle back and forth as you're placing the pressure to push down. If he only pushes down, that's called drasa. Chaloda means he stuck the knife in the middle instead of cutting from the outside. Knife should be exposed like a chulda, like a weasel runs in between bookcases and in between trees and so on. So he stuck the knife in between the simanim and he's cutting backwards instead of having the knife exposed. And hagrama means he cut too high, he cut too low. They just had in the papers now about the first time in the history of the world that they wrote a mezuzah on giraffe's hide. Giraffe is a kosher animal. It's malager mafis par. So they used to say for years, you can't shecht the giraffe because you don't know where to shecht it. Then they said, it's ridiculous. Why you don't know where to shecht it? Anywhere in the tall neck. Everything is good. You can't shecht all the way up too high. You can't shecht too down. But on the giraffe, you have five times as much room to shecht. You can't go wrong. Wherever you shecht is good. The din is that you can write on or behemoth tahora, even if the animal is in a vela, even if it died a natural death, you can still write the tefillin and mezuzah. You can't write tefillin and mezuzah on hide from a non-kosher animal, from an elephant, from a horse, from a donkey. But if it's a kosher animal like a giraffe, even if you didn't shecht it, happens that they did shecht it. So they had it in the Israeli newspaper. First time in the history of the world, how do they know? First time in the headline. First time in the history of the world that a mezuzah was written on giraffe's hide. Okay. So the din is, so the first four we know what they are. Shia, drasa, chaloda, hagrama. Hagrama means you shecht too high, too low. Ikur, what was ikur? So ikur was a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says ikur means I shecht with the sack and peguma. That's how Tosfos interpreted Rashi. Ikur means you shecht with a knife that has a peguma, so shechitas and nevela you're not allowed to eat it. And Tosfos disagreed with Rashi. Tosfos says, no, the Mishnah says if you shecht with the sack and it has a pegima, that's like ripping the neck. So you didn't cut, that's like ripping, because the nick in the knife is going to tear. It's not going to cut. So Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat. That's too simple. That's so elementary that if the knife has a pegima, that shouldn't be counted as one of the chamish al cheshchita. That's like ripping the neck out. So Tosfos disagreed. The long Tosfos tesaman al. They said the rika means something else. If you shecht the simen or kur, the kon and the resha, usually the kon is the problem. The windpipe is attached on top to the jaw, and it's attached on the bottom to the lungs. So what if the attachment of the windpipe, usually the windpipe is going to be nekar, what if it's detached from the top? So Rashi apparently learns that the animal is a trefor. What has it got to do with hilcha shechita? Like if it has a hole in the kishkas, a hole in the lungs, so if it has a broken leg in the right place, it makes the whole animal a trefa. So Rashi holds if you have a simen okur before you started the shechita, if you already shechted, let's say in an oif, you don't in a behem, you have to shecht kona and the veshit. When you shecht an oif, if you shecht the kona or the veshit, one is enough. So let's say I shecht an oif in a chicken, I shecht the veshit, and after shechting the veshit, then the kona gets displaced. I already shechted it, so there's no problem. But Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosfos says, no, the animal is walking around with a kone that's detached. The animal is nishkin trefa. And if you're going to milk the cow, the milk is kosher. And if the hen is going to lay eggs and it has a kone that's detached, the eggs are kosher. The animal is nishkin trefa, not like Rashi. Rashi apparently thinks, if the kona, the veshet, is detached on top, so the whole animal, while it's walking around, is a trefa. So Tosfos says, it's not true, it's not a trefa. But the halacha says, you cannot do a shechita on the semen that's awkward. So if you already, let's say you have an oif, if I already shechted the veshet first, and then the kona becomes detached, shengeshachten, so there's no problem. But if the kona becomes detached before I begin to shecht the bird, the chicken, and then I shecht the veshit, I'm not shechting the kona. I shecht the veshit, so the brisa says that it's no good. Our brisa, and Yehuda Menav says that it's no good. So Tosfos has to explain, Tosfos on top test has to explain, why is it no good? They learned, ikur means, if you do shechita on a simen that's okur, simen means either the kona or the veshit, and it's detached. So the shechita is not chal on a simen that's okur. But you don't have to shecht the kona and the veshit in a bird. All you have to shecht is one. So he's shechting the beishet. So what's wrong? So Rashi holds no. If the kana became awkward, the whole animal is a treifa. But Taisa disagrees. Not a treifa. Just that the shechita can't be chal on a simen, because so shech the other simen. So Taisus has to explain, the Rashba adds on a line into the Taisus, but it's obvious that that's what Taisus means. When you shech the oif, you only have to shech one or the other, the kana deveshet, but it's considered as if the shechit on the one simen is chal on both. So if the kana was nekar before you shech the veshet, and then you're going to shech the veshet, the shechit is no good. Because the shechit had, just like, let's say, you shecht roiv of the kana, a roiv of the veshet. So you say, ruba kukuloi, by shechting roiv of the kana, roiv of the veshet, is considered ruba kukuloi, as if he shechted all of it. So shechting a bird doesn't have as much chiyus as an animal, the Gemara explains later. So by shechting one or the other, it's considered as if the shechita was done on both. And shechita can't be chal on a simen oker. So that's what the Gemara quotes the Braise on the bottom, the last 10 lines on Yudam and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, you're going to ask a kasha. Shachas is shechting an oif. So you only have to shecht one simen, you don't have to shecht both. That's what Rashi explains. Shachas is haveshet, the hakach nishmeto hagargeris. The gargeris is the kona, the windpipe. Kshera, it's trying to gendik the shechita. He shechted the veshet, finished. So the fact that the kona became neka later on doesn't bother me. What if hakert nishmeto hagargeris? If the windpipe became detached from the jaw beforehand, before he begins to do the shechita, v'chakach shochat es haveshet psula teignish. Why? I but he shechted the veshet. He didn't shecht the kana. So you have to say, according to Tosfos, even though you only have to shecht the veshet, but the shechita is considered as if it's chal on both the kana and the veshet, and the shechita can't be chal on a simen that's nekam imkom. If it's detached, so the shechita can't be chal. What if Shachar is haveshet, he shechts an oif, he shechts the food pipe. And afterwards, v'nimtza hagagerish muta, and he realizes now that the wind pipe is not attached on the top where it's supposed to be attached to the jaw. The eino yodeya, and the shechar has no way of knowing, and kaidim shchita nishmatam, lacha shchita nishmato, he does know when this occurred, when did it become detached from the jaw. Zehoya maisa, the shayla came up, halacha lamaisa, so what's the din? V'yamru, Kol sofik b'shchita pasul. See, this brisa makes sense according to Tosfos, that if you shecht the simen okur, the whole thing is an avail. So then you say behema b'chayeh b'cheskas isur emedes. Whenever there's a sofik and shchita, so you say ishtelav cheskas isur. According to Rashi, that a simen that's nishmat is a treifa. So I shechted an animal, and it's a sofik if it's a treifa. So the Gemara said before, whenever there's a suffix, if the animal is a treifa, you go to kula, because you assume Rabbi Hamas Chevrusain. So this brisa is really a problem, according to Rashi. There was a double machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos on Tesam and Aleph. What does it mean, ikur? Shia drosa chalod agrama v'ikar, the five hilchashchita. So Rashi interpreted, ikur means if he shech with the sak and peguma. Tosfos says, what? Sak and peguma is garnish mit garnish. Of course it's nothing. You don't even have to mention that as if it's one of the hilchashchita. That's like shooting the animal. That doesn't count. Rashi holds no. Shecht with the sak and pegum is called a shechita bipsul. It's no good. What does Rashi hold about the simen okur? So Rashi holds no. It's a treifa. The animal, while it's walking around, while it's alive, is a treifa. And Tosfos disagrees on both. Tosfos says shechting with the sak and pegum is such an elementary psul. It's no good. You don't have to mention it here. That's like shooting the animal. That's like yanking out the neck with your hand. Of course, it's no good. And ikur means you shecht on a simen okur, and that's not a din in treifas, that's an avela. So this tosefta that the Gemara quotes here, tosefta in chulin perik beis, the last 10 lines on yudam and aleph, this really supports Tosfos, because according to Rashi, what do you say zeho yamaisa? The yomer and the rabbanim paskin kol sofik b'shchita posel. Why does it sofik b'shchita? Is it sofik in hilchas treifas? The sofik in hilchas treifas, you always go lekula because Rav Behem is ksheresay. So that's a problem. The Rishonim worry on this. It's a very strong kasha against Rush. A sofik in hilchas shechita means a sofik if it's an avela, right? Yeah. So the way Tosfos says, when you shech the simen that's nishmat b'mkomo, it's an avela, so the Brisa reads straight. So the Gemara wants to know, Brisa says, zeho yamaisa v'yomru, and they should have said v'yomru asur. They didn't say v'yomru asur, they said v'yomru. And they formulated a general klal that covers several cases. Kol sofik b'shchita posel. So the Gemara says, why did they make such a... They should have said, v'yomer, aser misofik. Why do they say, kol sofik b'shchita? If you ask the Gemara, kol sofik b'shchita lasuyimai. Kol means they made a general statement that includes more cases. Lasuyimai. What did the b'risa mean to be marbe? What additional cases are coming to aser? Laugh, probably, lasuyiki agavna, probably goes on this kind of case. The machlek is Rav Huna, Rav Chizda. Where you check the knife and you shechted, and then later on you check the knife and you find that it has a begima, and it's a suffix in the shechita, whether the begima on the knife developed before you cut the simonim or after. So the pashtus and the word kol suffix b'shechita probably refers to the case of Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, so it's like Rav Huna, that a suffix b'shechita is aser. So what's Rav Chizda going to do with this b'risa? It says in the b'risa, kol suffix b'shechita. My love lasuye ki haigal mar says lo. Rav Chizda will say no. In this case, it's mutter. When you check the knife afterwards, you need to find the begim, it's mutter, either because of sveka, because of roida, because of chazaka, all the three explanations that the Rishonim gave. And the b'risa that says kol, no, lasuyi, sofik shor, sofik doras, it goes on a different case. If you have a sofik shia, the chomish ulcha shchita. If you have a sofik in the chomish ulcha shchita, the behema b'cheya b'cheska sisra menes. Frag the Gemara, umayish, no, but why do you distinguish? Why do you say that a sofik in shchita, Rav Chizda agrees with the Rav Huna, that behema b'cheya b'cheska sisra menes, whenever you have a sofik in the shchita, you go to chumre, because behema is b'cheska sisra zvucha. So how come Rav Chizda's makel over here? So we already had the Rishonim said, either Svek Sveke, or Roiv, or Chazaka. So the Gemara is asking, Umayishna, and how come by the Sofik Shor, Sofik Doras, Rav Chizda agrees with Rav Huna, that that will be also Misofik, and let it be also here? So we already have three answers. So what did the Gemara answer? And for the Gemara, no, there's a big difference. Pasum by Sofik Shor, Sofik Doras, is Yalida Boreis Bibahema. There, the latest asafik, raised means the latest asafik, the issue began. I'm not sure if I did a shia drasa chalad agram avika. But since the latest asafik is on the behemoth, he called the chumr. Abahacha, here I checked the knife later on and I found it has a begime. That's a safik benatzad. Acha, sakin isrei, behemoth lo isrei. The latest asafik is on the knife and not on the behemoth. So Tosfos on Amud Aleph said, so what? So how does that, what kind of a, it's Sisrei Torah. What? That's not an answer. So that's why all the Rishonim gave different interpretations. It either means Svek Sveke, or means Chazaka, means Rav. But whatever it means, it doesn't say it. What it says in the Gemara, we don't understand. Hasam Sakin Sisrei Behem Alay Say, so what? What's the logic over here? We don't. The Loshon HaGemara, a lot of times, the Gemara doesn't speak like modern people speak with more precision. We live in a scientific age. We talk a lot about precision. A kazayis, how much a kazayis matzah? Years ago, 100 years ago, who talked about a kazayis matzah? You ate a little matzah, it's a kazayis matzah. People today, you read the newspapers, everything goes with so much more precision. So the Gemara's Loshon a lot of times is not so meduyik. Sakin Yisrei, Behem Elo Yisrei, what does it mean? Whatever it says, that's not an explanation. That's what the Rishonim have, the three different interpretations. What did the Gemara really mean to say? So Tosfos on Amud Aleph on the last line says, and then Svek Sveker. And the Tosfos on Amud Bey sounds like they're saying like the Ran, that it means Chazokish, tell a knife after Chazokish. And and the Tosfos in the beginning of Amud Aleph, the beginning of the Tosfos, they say, no, Roiv, three totally different interpretations. So how do we pass in Halacha Lemaisa? The third line, the Hilchasa. And this Machleg is Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, how do we pass in? The Hilchasa Kavase the Rav Huna Kishaloshi Baba'etzim. If you just shechted the animal and it's a toss up, whether the second behem became nifgim or with the hide before or the spine after, so that's a suffix, say go to chumra. But if Shiba bought samas, but if he was cutting bones later on in the slaughterhouse, he's cutting the bones, so then the likelihood is that it got broken, that the gima came because of the bone. Then we would pass, in that case, we would pass on like Rav Chizda, lo hakel. Hilchus ha-kavasa de Rav Huna v'kishaloi shibu bo'etzem, and the Hilchus ha-kavasa de Rav Chizda kishashibu bo'etzem. But the machlekes Rav Huna Rav Chizda is in both cases, whether shibu bo'etzem or not. Machlekes in all cases.
Is there any significance they use an etzem in the singular before they use that somos?
I don't think so. Here, it means Hilchos HaKvasa Rav Chizdek Kishishiba Ba means Atzamos. Here it means Atzamos. A lot of bones later on. Yeah. The neck, the spine. Yeah. It has to say Etzem Kishaloshiba Ba. No, here it, both of them mean Atzamos. Cutting a lot of bones. It's not precise. It really it would have been better if she really should say she be bought atzamos, a lot of atzamos. A lot of atzamos, because the more is making the compromise. If you didn't cut any bones later on, just to toss up whether they became nivgama with the hide or nivgama with the spine, so then we're machmir. There's no raiv. You don't say the likelihood is that he bumped into the spine and made it begin. Most of the time, the shachtim do not bump into the spine. They don't want to ruin the knife. So he's probably careful. But if Sheba bought some, so he cut a lot of, he knows that he cut a lot of bones afterwards, then the din tak is like Rav Chizdei lahakil. So the Gemara says michlal, but the inference is from the way you're giving the psak that the original machlokes was ben akotze el akotze. They're both to the extreme. Rav Huna is machmer to be concerned maybe the pigima developed before in the hide and the skin, even if Sheba bought harbe atzamas hachakach. And Rav Chizdei is meikel, even if Loshi bebat Samus afterwards. So that's what the Gemara points out. Michlal, the inference is from our compromise in the Psak, the Rav Chizdei would be meikel. Afagav de Loshi bebat etzim. Even though he didn't cut a lot of bones later on. So the Gemara says, so what is it based on? So we said before the three pshatim. One pshat was Svek Sveke. You don't know whether the pegima developed before or after. You don't know whether he really cut with that part of the knife. So that. So what's the problem? What's the Gemara's question? The other pshat was chazoke. So you know the reason for Rav Chizdei chazoke. This line of the Gemara sounds like the first pshat in Tosis. The reason for Rav Chizdei's being meikel is based on Ruba de Leisa Kamon. The likelihood is that the knife became nivgam by cutting all the bones afterwards. So the Gemara says, but Rav Chizdei's meikel even if he didn't cut any bones. So where is the Ruba de Leisa Kamon to say that the Pegima developed after? He didn't cut any bones later on. The Gemara says, no, but it's more likely that the spine will make the Pegima rather than the hide. The hide is soft. The hide rarely makes it. One out of a thousand, the hide is going to make a Pegima. But the spine can make a Pegima. That's what the Gemara says. Frag the Gemara, Michlal, the inference is, the Rav Chizdei holds Lahokil, Avgav to Lashi Bubo Atzomas, it means, even though he didn't cut a lot of bones afterwards, Elabamai Yivgim. So why is Rav Chizdei being Makel if he didn't cut bones? And for the Gemara, no, Emba Beatzen de Mefrekis Yivgim. Maybe it got broken, maybe the Pegim was developed when the knife bumped into the spine. So the Maisa, the Loshon HaGemara is Megumgum, when they say, Sakan Yisrei, Behem Alo Yisrei. It's a melitza, that's what Tosis says. What's the difference? Tema. What's the difference? Why should it make a difference? Saka Yisrei, Behem Alo Yisrei. So the Rishonim had the three pshatim, and none of the pshatim fit into the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara is not precise over here. So that's the psak halacha. Now the Gemara tells this story. Havi Uvda, once upon a time there was an instance, a situation, and the Shoichet shechted 13 chevosa, 13 animals, and then after shechting, they checked the knife beforehand. They didn't have the presence of mind to shecht in between the first and the second, in between the second and the third. And after shechting 13 animals, then they checked, they found the begima. So they asked all the 13 animals. Habiyuvda, once upon a time, there was an instance, the Torah for Rav Yosef, and he had a bimatrif, he had a aser atlesa chevosa. He asked all 13 animals because they weren't biting till the end. And he went like Rav Huna. You have to say it's a suffix. Maybe it became Nivka. Maybe the second was Nivkama before he shechted the first one. So Gemara Keman ki Rav Huna. Afiluk the Kamaisa. Probably the Maisa Shohei was he yasad all 13 animals, including the first one, because the concern was Shema Bar Nivkama. Like Rav Huna said, maybe the second became Peguma from the hide before he even began. So Gemara says, not necessarily. We don't know what the whole story was. It could well be loy ke Rav Chizdei. Maybe he really holds like Rav Chizdei that if it's a toss-up, whether it became nivgim or with the hide or with the spine, so you should assume that it became nivgim or with the spine. That's more mistaber. So maybe the Maaseh Shohei was he shechted 14 animals, And they found that begim at the end, he asked the last 13, and the first one he was mafshir. Because the first one is a toss-up. When did it become nifgimo? When was the saknim? With the hide or with the spine? So Rav Chisda, maybe Rav Yosef really holds like Rav Chisda, that it's more likely that the spine made it a trefa, made the pigim on the knife. So the first animal we would be mafshir, and the next 13 animals he asked. The Gemara says, we're not sure what the Maisa Shoya was. So the Gemara is asking, Kiman, it's probably Rav Huna, Vafilu Bika Maisa, probably holds like Rav Huna and Yasser, even the first animal, because you have to be concerned, maybe Shema Bar Nivgama, maybe the hide made the Begima. The Gemara says, not necessarily so, lo, it could well be, he really holds like Rav Chisda, and he shechted 14 animals, and Yasser the last 13, and the first one he was Megalan, Ulabar Mika Maisa, except for the first one.
Why aren't all 13...
It wasn't Shibra Thomas at the end. It's just a suffix. Did it become Nifgamo with the hide? Or did it become the hide of the first, the hide of the second, the hide of the third? Or did it become Nifgamo with the spine? So Rav Chisda would say more Mistaba with the spine than with the hide. Now it's a toss up which spine? The first spine or the second spine or the 13th spine? So all equal. So that's a suffix Ashakul. So the first one, you could be Mekalan. It's more likely that it became Nivgama with the spine than with the hide. But there's no svar to say the 13th spine. Why more to stop with the 13th spine than the first spine? Gemara is not sure. If you want to, could well be that you can't say what we just said. You can't say what we just said, that he really holds like Rav Chisda, and he shechted 14 animals, and the first one he allowed, because he really holds like Rav Chisda, and the last 13 he asked. No, Leolam, you have to say, perhaps you have to say, Leolam Rav Huna, you have to say that Rav Yosef holds like Rav Huna. The Iker Rav Chisda, if he would have held like Rav Chisda, that it's more mistaber to say that the knife became Nivgimo when he banged the knife into the spine, as opposed to the hide, then it's more mistaber to say that it became Nivgimo when he banged it into the 13th spine. Why is that more mistaber? Yeah. It's more mistaber to say, just like Rav Chisda, it's more mistaber that the spine made the begima than the hide. So the Gemara now says, it's more mistaber to say that the begima developed the last one. So the Gemara is very unclear. So Taisus on Amar Aleph says, the Sheikha knows that he has 13 animals. So he's careful every time he shechts, the first, the second, the third, he doesn't want to make any begimas. So he's careful not to bang into the spine. And if he does, he's not going to bang too hard. But when he knows he's holding by the last one, he doesn't have to worry about the knife after he finishes shechting, then he's not worried about banging into the spine. If he'll make a begimah, he'll sharpen it next time. He doesn't have any more behemoths to shecht now. So Tosis interprets that that's what the Gemara says. It must be the Rav Yosef who asked all the 13 animals, has to hold like Rav Huna, who asks whenever it's a suffix, he asks maybe Shema Bor Nivgamo, Deikir Rav Chisda, because if Rav Yosef really holds like Rav Chisda, Michdi Mitla Talina, and Rav Chisda says that you attribute the pegima to the spine as opposed to the hide, because it's more mistaber that it was Nivgamo by the spine. So why should you be Toyle on the first spine, on the first animal? Makes more sense to be Toyle the spine on the 13th animal and say the roll mutter. Why is it more mistaber on the 13th? So they said because he's finished for the day. He doesn't have to worry about it anymore. The first 12 animals, he's going to be dainty because he knows he has to have a good sakin to continue to shech.
Yeah, he doesn't want to make sakin. He just doesn't want to damage the sakin.
He'll sharpen it. So when it comes to the last one, he knows he's finished for the day and he doesn't have to be so careful. Even if it'll become nivkame, he'll sharpen it again. So that's what Tosis reads the Gemara. Michni mitla talinon, according to Rav Chisda, you toilet that the pegima developed on the spine and not on the hide. So mimai, why should you say the bats and the mifrax is the kamaisa yivgim? Why should Rav Chisda say that it became the sakim, became peguma when it bumped into the spine on the first animal? Dilma bats and the mifrax is the basraisa yivgim. More mistaken to say that the pegima developed on the when it bumped into the spine on the last animal. Why is more mistaken? So Tosfos says because he's finished for the day. So then he shechts all the way. This is the Gemara.
When
they shecht chickens, they're not. They shecht so much, yeah. By behemoths, I think they are, but it came between each animal, yeah. But when they shech chickens, it doesn't pay to slow down the...
There's no supply. It's very short.
No, but still is a concern. They shech chickens very quickly. They shech chicken very quickly.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah. So the meaning is they shech, let's say, 15 chickens, and then they'll check the sakin. And if it turns out to be a sakin pekuma, they'll last a roll of 15. It pays off for them. Rather than to slow down the whole conveyor belt, so it pays off like that. What does the Gemara say? When should you be baidik? Omalei Rav Acha bei de Rav leRav Ashi, Rav Kana matzach bi dikusa ben kol chada v'chada. But the practice Rav Kana was that he would insist you should check in between each animal, after the first one, after the second one. The Gemara says, Kiman ki Rav Huna, ulam if so kamaisa, probably holds like Rav Huna, that if you're going to shecht a lot, you're going to aser everything. You'll have to aser. So you're going to shecht 10, and then you're going to find the sakan pegum. You're going to aser even the first one. So that's why he said you better check in between each one. So may turn out some of them will be kosher, and the last ones will be nevelis. But with the begimah, because if you're going to shecht 15 and then check at the end, according to Rav Huna, you have to aser everything. The Gemara says it sounds like Rav Kahane, who introduced this this kpeda to check in between each animal, probably holds like Rav Chinin. Gemara says lo ki Rav Chizda lachshur basrais. And no, verzok that the reason why Rav Kahane introduced that you should be bodik in between each one because he's afraid you'll have to aser everything, including number one, like Rav Huna. Maybe really holds like Rav Chizda, and he wants to make sure that you don't have any pegimus. Lachshur basrais. Veg mar kasha, if there's really a suffix whether the knife has a pegima, Rav Kahane introduced the practice. You got to check the knife in between each one. So do we have a din in the Gemara? We had a little bit on the previous daf. Before the shechet shechts the animal, it's not sufficient that he checks the chalav. He has to show it to the chacham ho'ir. He has to show. So it'll take forever in the slaughterhouse. The shecht one animal, then he has to go to the rabbi. Show him the rabbi's busy in shul. Paskin and Shilas. So you have to have, the rabbi has to come to the slaughterhouse. And today, Bechlal, the whole thing doesn't apply. We don't have, the slaughterhouse is out in wherever it is, Wyoming, I don't know wherever it is. There is no rabbi in the city. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be, yeah. So the Gemara says, if Rav Kahane introduced the Chumrah, that you have to check, the Sheikhet has to check the knife in between each animal, so you should have to show it to the rabbi in between each animal also. So it'll take forever. So the Gemara says, "I hochi, t'boy nami b'dikas chacham." How come you don't have to show it to the rabbi? Everything more, no. Erechadem in Misurim. We are allowed to trust the Sheikhet that he says he did it, he checked it, then it's good. If Erechadem in Misurim, so why do you have to show it to the rabbi at all? It's not a real chashash that maybe the sheikhet is lying. Maybe there's a pegima in the sakin. Nikra din, of course, Erech Namisum. The sheikhet is a religious man, you believe. Why do you have to show it to the chacham ha'ir even before you shech the first one? And for the Gemara now, does an ishkin kasha. I'm a rabbi yechanal, I'm a lahar sakin chacham. I'm ten kvaru shal chacham. It's only out of respect for the rabbi. And today, usually, the slaughterhouses are in a village where there is no rabbi. So the whole din of showing to the sakin to the rav doesn't apply. Yeah. So this is a famous Gemara because of this famous Tosfos on the bottom. This is quoted in Yoridei Simon Aleph. And the three pshatim and Rav Chizda, why we are making. The next Gemara is also going to be a very famous Gemara. The Gemara is going to have a whole discussion. Where do we know from the Chumash that there's such an institution of shtelling on chazaka? Status quo, we said there are two dinim. There's one din, if you don't know whether the status quo changed, you assume it didn't change. And there's another din of chazaka. I know that it changed. I don't know when it changed, so you should attribute the change to as late as possible. So where in the world does this whole thing appear in Chumash? Where does it say there's such a thing of shtelling on chazaka? And then the next sugi is going to be, where does it say that you go basarayim? So the answer, what do you mean? Where does it say? It's a pasuk in Chumash, acharav lahatas. Mor says, no, that's when you have the original mocker in Chumash, when you have a bezdin, and there's a split vote. So that's called the ruba de isikamon. You have a bezdin of 23 for din in the farshas, a bezdin of 3 for din tara for mamanis. So you go basar. How do you know that you go basar ruba de leisikamon? How do you know that you follow probabilities? So Gemara is going to prove from sources, from Mishnayis, and from Brises. These are two famous Gemaras. How do you know Ishtal of Chazaka? And then the next sukkah is going to be, how do you know that you go Basar Raif? At the end of Parshas Bechukaisai, the Torah has the mitzvah of Maisa Behema. Mamish at the very end, the two psukim from the end. Chol Maisa Baka Betzon Kol Shiyav Tachas HaShavet Vasiri Yiyah Kodesh Lashem. If a farmer had animals born, kosher animals, Baka Betzon, Behema Gasa, Behema Daka, Tzon is Behema Daka, and Baka is Behema Gasa. So if he had 10 or more animals, and is it's on one farm. If he has one farm in northern Eretz and one farm in southern Eretz, so they're not mitzvah for Yaakov. They have to be within a certain distance to each other. In Mishnah and the end of Bechoris, the last part of Bechoris tells you how close the animals have to be. It's an important shear. It's relevant for Hilchas Erev and also shear in that Mishnah. So if the farmer had 10 new animals were born in the course of the year, so as a mitzvah to put them on in a corral, and to have a narrow opening, and to have them go out one by one, and you should count from 1 to 10. When Asiri Yiyah Kodesh Lashem, Tosis points out in the first parak in Chagiga, Bechor and Maisa are the two karbonos that you don't have to be magdish. Karbon Oyla, Karbon Shlamin, Karbon Chatas, Karbon Hashem, Karbon Pesach. You always have to say Kedush Aspeh. I declare this as a Karbon Chatas. I hereby declare it as a Karbon Shlamin. I hereby declare it as a Karbon Pesach. Bechor is Kodesh Me'elo. When it's born, it's automatically Kaddish, Kaddish Meirechem, if it's owned by a Jewish person. And Maisa Beim also, it doesn't become Maisa by itself. You have to have them in a corral, have to go out, and you have to have a mine. But if you count from 1 to 9, then there's only one animal left. So it becomes Kaddish by itself. The Gemara says, even if he doesn't declare Hareza Maisa Behema, Asir Me'elefu Kaddish. That's why there's no pidyon. These are the two korbanos. If you have a korban, gets a mum kavua, so then the din is your poida. The kedusha goes on to the money, then you have to take the money and buy a new animal that has no mum. And pchorei maisa, the two korbanos that are unique, that when it gets a mum kavua, you don't have to be poida at all. It's just a yetzel l'chul nabaitzof. So the Rashi points out on Chumash that the Torah never says, what do you do with this maisa behema? You bring it as a carbon in the base of Migdash. It says, Lo Yavaka bin Tayyib al-Rabbi, Lo Yimirenu, Ha Yimirenu, Ho Yehus Merosi Yakurish. You're not allowed to switch it for a different animal. So it's a regular carbon. You mark it in the base of Migdash. Who eats it? So Rashi says on the Pasuk, and Rashi says on the Mishnayis, in a few places, it never says that it's from the 24 Matnas Kahuna. The Gemara says that there are Chav Talad Matnas Kahuna, but the Gemara never says which are the Chav Talad Matnas Kahuna. The Gemara says in the Midrashim, saying a few places, there were 24 Matnas Kahuna. The problem is there are more than 24. So obviously the Tanoim were bunching together, a few counting of them as one. So which are the 24? So some of the Gaonim were of the opinion that Maisa Behema is from the Chof Dalad Matnas Kahuna. You give it to the Kohen, like Bechor Behema Torah, you give it to the Kohen. The Kohen is supposed to be Makriv it on the Mizbech, and then he eats it. So the Maisa Behema is also, you give it to a Kohen. The Mishnah says, HaBechor Nechel HaKohen HaMaisa L'Chol Adam. A b'chor may only be eaten by Kohanim when your makriv it is the korban. It can only be eaten by Kohanim. The Maisa Behema may be eaten by anybody. But the Goyim are of the opinion, the Rashba quotes the Goyim, Rashi was aware of the Goyim also. That's why he always makes a point and he says that they're wrong. So the Goyim are of the opinion, it's Matnas Kahuna, you have to give the Maisa Behema to the Kohen. The Kohen is makriv it on the Mizbech, and then he can invite non Kohanim to eat, provided that they went to mikveh. They should be tohar. So Rashi says it's not from the Chof Dalad Matnas Kahuna, never says anywhere in Shas. That's true, and never says anywhere in Shas. And this is in disagreement, but the Gaonim will claim that the Bechor, that the Maisa Behema is from the Matnas Kahuna, the 24 Matnas Kahuna. So the Netziv, in his commentary at the end of Chumash B'chukaisai, is bothered with the Kasha. It's a Beferish Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. It's a Beferish Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. When they came back after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, and they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, it says that they brought Maisa Behema and they gave it to the Kohanim. So how can Rashi say it doesn't say anywhere? Rashi's right, it never says anywhere in the Gemara. Never says anywhere in the Gemara, but it says in Tanakh. So it's a Beferish Pasuk that they did give the Maisa Behema to the Kohanim. So what does Rashi say that there is no such din? You're not Mukhif to give it. So the Netziv writes a suggestion. He says, it is quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon that even though the obligation to eat matzah is only the first night of Pesach, But if one will volunteer to eat matzah, the rest of Pesach is a kima mitzvah. There's such a thing, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. You're not mechliv to do it, but if you do it, you're mekayma mitzvah. So there are those who deny the Vilna Gaon ever said, because most of the things from the Vilna Gaon were written by his Talmidim. The Vilna Gaon wrote the Bir on Shulchan Aruch himself, and he wrote the comments on the Kabbalah Svarim, and all the things on Tanakh, all the things on the Gemara, these were written by Talmidim. So there are those, the Rabbanim in our generation, and they say the Vilna Gaon never said it, it's nonsense. A mitzvah, by definition, a mitzvah does mean a good deed. A mitzvah means mitzvah, a commandment. How can you have an optional commandment? You don't have to do it, but if you do it, you have a key in my mitzvah. So there are those who deny the Vilna Gaon ever said. But the Netziv was in Valozhin, and he didn't know Rav Chaim Valozhiner, but he knew the Nachlas David, who was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Valozhiner. Valozhin yeshiva lasted for 90 years. He was the Netziv, was the Rosh Yeshiva, the last 39 years. And he came to the yeshiva before his bar mitzvah, and he had a lot of, he heard a lot of things from the Nachlas David, Rav David Tebel. So he assumes that the Vilna Gaon really said this. He quotes, it's known in the name of the Vilna Gaon that there's such a concept as a mitzvah soshus. So he says, that's a chiddush. He recognized that's a chiddush, because there are those today who deny it, it just doesn't make sense. It's a contradiction in terms to say a mitzvah to humans.
Mitzvah kala,
yeah, it's still a chiddush. Mitzvah kala means some mitzvahs are easier to do, less expensive than others. Yeah. So here, so the Netziv suggests, Rashi only meant to say that it's not an obligation to give it to the Kohanim. And the Pasuk in Devar Yamim indicates that perhaps that it's a mitzvah kiyumis. If you give it to the Kohanim, let's say I'll give the Kohanim, have an extra $10 bill, I'll give it to the Kohanim. So if they're aniyim, so I gave them mitzvah tzedok. If they're not aniyim, there's no kiyuma mitzvah of giving matnas kuhuna. Just because you have extra money in your pocket, you don't know what to do with it, so you give it to the Kohanim. So he says maybe the Pasuk in Devar Yamim means to say, according to Rashi, you'll have no brayer. You have to say that what it means is that there's such a thing is a mitzvah kiyumis. If you volunteer to give it to the Kohanim, I raise a kiyum mitzvah sase. But Rashi is only insisting that you're not obligated to give it. You're not mechuyev to. Then he goes further. Once he has this Vilna Gaon, this is a big breakthrough that there's such a concept is a mitzvah kiyumis. And then he says maybe this is true regarding lokuach also. The Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Peches comments on the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, where it says Aser ti aseres kol tvuas zarecha ayotzi hasod shono shono. So the Gemara comments on tvuas zarecha shalcho v'lo halakuach. If you buy tevel from someone else, so the obligation to be mafish chumas and maisis is only mederabbanim. It's only manatar if it grew on your farm. So that's quite a chiddush. The lakuach is only mederabbanim. The whole afrash is only mederabbanim. The Netziv says, but Tosis is there, but Metziah Daf Peches is bothered with a lot of kashas. The Gemara is a talk about buying tevel from someone else, and the guy's mafresh sounds like it's chal min haTorah. So the Netziv says, maybe the tour is you're not mechuyev to, but if you're mafresh, maybe it's chal min haTorah. Maybe that's also a mitzvah kiyumis. And then the Ravid, he doesn't quote this, the Ravid says the same. The Ravid writes in one place that the obligation min haTorah to be mafresh, chumas and maris, is only on dog and tirish v'yitzer. Only on grain and grapes,
oil
and oil, olive oil, olives and olive oil, and grapes and wine, and on the other fruits and vegetables, you're not obligated min haTorah. But the Ravid says, if you want mafrish, it'll be chal min haTorah. So he's saying there's such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis. So that's what the Netziv gets all excited. The Vilna Gaon opened up a new concept over here that there's such a by the matzah called shiva. That the Vilna Gaon said you're not mechuyev to eat matzah, but if you eat matzah, you have a mitzvah kiyumis. There's such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis. This can explain a lot of other gemaras. Rav Soloveitchik thought that this explains a lot more. He used to say that all the minhagim have to have some kiyum or another. So he thought a lot of the minhagim are kiyum on the level of the raisa, even though there's not even a chiyum in the rabbanon, but there's a kiyum in many minhagim on the level of the raisa. He expanded this even further than the Netziv. Chiddush from the Vilna Gaon. Shechita is a question whether there is a mitzvah. Yeah. Most assume that the Rambam never meant that it's a mitzvah. He just meant that it's a matir. Thank you.
their shechita, could they have checked the animal's neck to see where it happened, or it's just like a tiny, it's like microscopic, you wouldn't be able to see that the neck
probably
was...
Probably was able to see. They probably did see.
So would that help? And like
they probably did see, and they saw that it had a neck. Now you don't know when did it...
No, but I mean, let's say animal number 7, the neck is broken. You see the neck is broken. So then you know the neck happened to animal 7.
I mean, the first one don't have any neck at all on the spine.
Right.
Yeah.
That would help in those cases.
Sure.